All right, the correct Reed Hall time is 1 p.m., so I will call the Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee to order. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson.
Here.
Vice Chair Persons Maluka.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Bell. Cheney.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Harding. Here. Ranking Member Brown. Hart. Representative LaMarca.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Placencia excused. Rummel.
Here.
Silvers excused. Slogsberg.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, members, we have a quorum today. If you have a cell phone, please make sure that it is turned off or on vibrate. Good afternoon. Welcome back, committee. We had a little bit of shuffling, not a ton, but a little bit of shuffling during the off season. So we have a couple new faces today, and want to welcome Representatives Harding and Slogsberg to our committee. Glad to have both of you on the committee with us. And then we have one final change, and that is Representative Persons Maluka will be taking the reins from Representative Rommel for vice chair this year. Congratulations, vice chair. We're glad to have you. And I was going to give just a moment when we open up the meeting for the vice chair to say a word, if she would like to. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is truly an honor to serve alongside you. And we learned so much last year under your leadership and look forward to continuing to learn this year. And it's also an honor to serve alongside all the members of this committee. So we look forward to working together, and thank you again.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And this year we have our same Ranking Member Hart, who is always a delightful person to work with. Ranking Member Hart, I'll recognize you for just a second if you'd like to talk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is indeed a pleasure to be back on this committee with you. I enjoy your leadership, and I look forward to learning lots of new things and getting some legislation done. So thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. I'm going to let y'all talk more if you keep saying good things about me. So last week, agencies were required to submit their budget requests for the fiscal year. So today, we're going to hear three of these requests: the Department of Transportation, the Department of Military Affairs, and the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. We will bring our three agencies up when we return for the next month. We'll have our next three committees, but today we're going to start out with the Department of Transportation. With the Department of Transportation, we have Secretary Kevin Tebow. You are recognized, sir. Good to see you.
I'm so excited because transportation. I was ready to go, though. We're ready. Here we go. So, members, this is a legislative budget request again that we just submitted for the coming fiscal year. And I have with me our budget officer, Michelle, with us, that's going to be help us if we have any questions that you may have. So, with that, just to kind of give you a framework here for the next fiscal year, beginning fiscal year 22-23, our overall budget request, as you see here, is $10.45 billion, about the same as the current fiscal year. Now, that's not counting the rescue plan money. You know, this is just kind of the normal development of our work program. About $120 million or so difference between the 2 years. Of that, most of it, as you see, is our work program. $9.27 billion is the work program. Now, let me just couch this by saying this is the second year of the five-year adopted program that we are working in right now. So it's a snapshot that we send to you. As you know, in the past, as time goes on, we're developing the next 5 year. So this will become the new first year, right? We will refine that. We actually give updates to the committee and to the legislature in January and February with a more refined number. So this is, again, just the second year of that five-year work program. But again, more just as robust as the current year. We have also $300 million of debt service that's out there. A small percentage of the overall program. We do sell bonds to help deliver the program over the years. We have about $11 billion, if I remember correctly, of outstanding commitment. So there's a lot of contracts out there. You all see it, right? You see all the work that's going on throughout the state. And part of that is we do have some bonds that we sell, right-of-way and bridge bonds, so on, some other bonds that we sell. Operating is about the same, pretty close to what we've done in the past, $850 million. And we have a very small fixed capital outlay that's just preserving and protecting the buildings that our employees work in and so on. So just to give you kind of a snapshot on how it rolls up, again, it fully funds the work program and the debt service. So there's the total amount there. Let me back up a little bit. And again, our operating cost, a couple of the asks that we have in the coming year, a lot of it related to technology. As you know, as there's been initiatives in the past to look at going to the cloud and securing and cybersecurity. You'll see a lot of those technology requests are all part of that. The Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage is a separate agency, but administratively they are housed within the Department of Transportation. So they have an additional request of $10 million coming in for their program, so we carry that along within our budget. The Turnpike system, as all of you know, Florida's Turnpike Enterprise is a part of the Department of Transportation, has been that way since 1969. They have a large program called SunPass, and so as we get a lot of subscribers and a lot of transactions, the credit card processing fees go up because of the volume of that work. And if you've driven up here, as most of you have done and known, we're converting the Turnpike system to all electronic. So you either have a SunPass transponder or you have a pay-by-plate. Again, that's all done transactions through electronic means and credit cards. So we do have an increase in our Turnpike credit card fees. We do have some replacement equipment that we have proposed and some operating costs increased as well. And then again, finally, the fixed capital outlay. We do have a couple of projects that we need to get our facilities up consistent with the American with Disabilities Act. Some support facilities across all budget entities, some environmental projects, and some deferred maintenance. Again, very, very small percentage when you think about the overall DOT program. And I will, that's a very short presentation. You'll always see a DOT end with a safety message. So our target is zero. Our mission statement and our vision is that we're trying to provide a transportation system that is fatality-free and congestion-free. You think about it, it's pretty aspirational goals, but that's our target. So in the case of safety, representative, it's all about how do we get to zero fatalities and zero serious injuries. With that, Mr. Chairman, I open up to any questions.
Thank you, Secretary. Do we have any questions for the Secretary? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember last year where we were working on the technology piece for getting that license onto your telephone.
License. That would be
highway and safety. Okay.
They're coming up soon. Save
right.
that one.
All right. Let me ask you about the Turnpike credit card fees.
Yes.
If you don't mind. You're asking for $7 million from us. How much are you all collecting from the Turnpike? And how, can that not be covered in the amount of money that we're collecting?
You recognize
that short?
Yeah, so thank you, Chairman. So that cost would actually be borne by the Turnpike. So the Turnpike that's coming out of their budget entity, and it's part of the transaction fees that you pay Visa, whoever the credit card provider is. It's just their processing fee. As you have more volume, the costs go up. So we estimate what that volume is, and every year, obviously, we have to adjust based upon that.
Okay. Thank you.
Follow up? Okay. Representative Schlossberg, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you. That's a very noble mission, the target zero fatalities and serious injuries. My question is regarding this page. It says that on the operating budget, there was $850.1 million for the LBR, but on this page it just breaks down $39.5 million. So
those are the excuse me, Chairman. Yes, that's just the asks that above and beyond kind of the core or the base that we've always been carrying.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
We have any other questions for the Secretary? Representative Cheney, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Secretary, how have you planned in your budgeting for the growth, population growth throughout the state?
You're recognized.
So our development of our five-year work program is really the tool to do that. Just to give you, and some of the new members that are here, statute, fortunately, your predecessors in the legislature has thought about how do we program our funds, the wise use of our revenues. Most of our revenues come from the gas tax, vehicle fees, you know, license registration, and tolls, primarily. There's a portion, about 25% of our program comes from the federal gas tax that goes up to Washington, comes back. The first priority that we program is safety. That's why you saw Target Zero, right? Whether it be traffic signals, improving intersections, whatever those safety aspects are. The second thing is preservation. We want to preserve and maintain what we already have out there. Sort of the analogy of like your house, you fix the roof before you add the pool, right? Same thing here with our transportation system. Well, some people do. Anyway, some people have their pool inside the house if they don't fix the roof, right? But anyway, so that's kind of the second thing we do. Then third is capacity. And how do we handle the capacity needs for our state, knowing that each region of the state is different? The needs here in the Panhandle are going to be different than it will be in Miami or in in Tampa Bay area, for example, and so on. So that's working with our metropolitan planning organizations in those regions, and all of you are very familiar, I'm sure, with those. I know Representative LaMarca is very familiar because he served on one for a number of years. So you just, and that's how they develop that bottoms-up approach to programming priorities. What's the priority within a region? So in the Tampa Bay area, that those two MPOs, or multiple MPOs actually, work collaboratively together to say, hey, we want to improve the West Shore Interchange, for example, or Howard Franklin Bridge, or whatever those priorities are, to take into account the growth that they have already seen and expect to have in the future. And obviously, we work with a lot of our economists and others to kind of look at those long-range forecasts for travel demand and so on. Okay?
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So let me ask the question a different way.
Sure.
But thank you for that information. What percentage of growth have you budgeted for in your plan?
You recognize.
So it depends on the region, and it depends on the projects that support that. So we do traffic forecasts in each one of the locations of the state. And again, the design of that improvement is in a 20-year horizon. So some locations may be 10, 13, 15% growth. Some locations may be even more. Like in the Villages area, Lake Sumter and all that is a lot larger than that because they're growing a lot larger. Osceola County, as you probably saw the latest census numbers, is one of the fastest growing in the state. So we take those data points into account when we do those traffic forecasts.
Representative Rommel, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Secretary. Early in 2020, there was a significant reduction in tolls collected. Have we seen revenue increase to pre-2020 numbers?
You recognize.
Yes, we have. We actually seen traffic as well as the numbers back to about the 2019 level. And by the way, just to let the rest of the members know, we have monthly calls with our seaports and our airports, and you probably have had those discussions, and they're back to where they were pretty much in those different areas.
Representative Mooney, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, looking at the page right here, I see environmental projects, $475,000. Could you just give me a little idea of why that number is low and what that actually means? Because, I mean, $475,000 would do about a third of a city block of stormwater runoff, maybe a third. So I'm just curious why that number is where it's at.
You're recognized.
So the stormwater for our projects is included in the project. These are kind of standalone environmental that's usually related to our buildings and our facilities and so on. And so over time, we're catching up with it. So it's just really kind of fixing those small little pieces that we need to catch up on.
Do we have
that's
any
why it's in fixed capital outlay. I'm sorry.
You're fine. Do we have any other questions for the Secretary? All right. Secretary Tebow, we appreciate you being here. And then, you know, I know we've had some unique circumstances in the Panhandle over the last year, and I just want to thank you for your leadership and your help with that. And Also wanted to tell members whether I think I can speak for the other people that are going to speak today and for DOT. If you need to have a deep dive into any of the stuff they have going on, they will be glad to meet with you in your offices. So thank you for being here today.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman.
Next up, we are going to have the Department of Military Affairs. We have the State Quartermaster, Lieutenant Colonel Adam Curry. Lieutenant Colonel, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chairman Williamson, Vice Chair Persons Malika, Ranking Member Hart, and fellow committee representatives. Thank you for the opportunity to brief you the Department of Military Affairs legislative budget request. On behalf of Major General James O. Eifert, I am Lieutenant Colonel Adam Curry, Department of Military Affairs, State Quartermaster, as presented by Chairman Williamson. The department has three basic missions as represented on the slide. The department's budget priorities reflect support to each of these core mission sets. The first priority that we have on the slide is approximately $17.7 million from the ARP deferred building maintenance. These funds are a large step in repairing and ensuring ADA compliance, critical life safety maintenance, and environmental deficiencies, to include building code compliance. These funds are recommended by the governor from the funds received last year through the ARP. Priority number two reflects the requirement in recurring maintenance and repair funds annually. The industry standard is $5.56 per square foot. The department has 1.5 million square foot, thus equaling $8.3 million needed annually. Moving on to priority number three, education's dollars for duty. EDD is the department's number one recruiting and retention incentive. We have experienced a 15% increase in demand annually. Consequently, to meet future needs, the department asked for an increase from previous requests to $2 million. As you're aware, workman's comp is incredibly important to us, primarily due to the injuries that are sustained on state active duty, specifically for hurricane duties whether it be a response to a city's requirement or county's need. And of course, it's always what we believe is our obligation to ensure the soldiers and airmen are returned to the state of health prior to the state active duty. So it is a rather large, important priority for us. Priorities five and six are interrelated. Both priorities maintain Camp Landing Joint Training Center, our primary training center for the Florida National Guard. It maintains it to a state where it maintains a level of readiness in order to sustain the continued federal funding that does come in and support that that installation. Priority seven is also somewhat interrelated to Camp Landing. Currently, there is not enough appropriations for the salaries and benefits of the workers on Camp Landing. Without these appropriations, without the workers, they won't be able to actually keep the ranges and the different training areas to a point to where it can be maintained and we can use them for not just the Florida National Guard, but outside military entities to include law enforcement agencies on Camp Landing. So again, it's a priority to ensure that we have individuals there to be able to fix the ranges and to maintain the training areas. And lastly, the counter drug program requests the appropriations only to expend funds out of the Federal Law Enforcement Trust Fund. It's to build a counter drug headquarters building on Camp Landing. The department's analysis shows it is more economically feasible or prudent to build a counter-drug headquarters building than lease long-term as we have been over the last several years. Again, Chairman Williamson, thank you for the opportunity to brief you today. I would be happy to address any questions you may have on the department's LBR.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Lieutenant Colonel Curry? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Mr. Do I understand that on priority 8, where you say maintenance and repair, you're saying as opposed to maintenance and repair, we're going to build a new building instead?
You're right. Thank
you, Chairman. Yes, ma'am. So the way it's supposed to be within the LBR, we had to put it as maintenance repair versus I think FCO is what you're looking for. But they actually already have the funding. And it's just appropriations authority to spend it, the funding out of the trust fund.
Follow-up, ranking member?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I see where we have the $17 million for deferred maintenance and the $8.3 million for maintenance and repair for readiness centers. Did we not fund it last year? You've not been able to get the funding, or you just recently identified all of the repairs and stuff that we need to get done?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Ma'am, that's a great question. The 17.7 gets us caught up on repairs that we were unable to do over the several years. The $8.3 million is for annual maintenance so that we maintain through the outlier years.
Okay. Thank you.
Have any other questions? All right, Lieutenant Colonel, we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for your service to the state and for your service to our country.
Thank you, sir.
All right, last but certainly not least, we have the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. We have Pace Calloway today. Pace, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. All right. Thank you, Chair. On behalf of Executive Director Terry Rhodes and the Department of Highway Safety, I will be going over the fiscal year 22-23 LBR. To start off, this is our current year budget, right at a little over $508 million. And then it is split between all of our divisions, and you can see the percentages there. FHP is about 51%, followed by Motor Services, CVE, ISA, and Division of Administrative Services. For our legislative budget request, we are requesting a little over $58 million, and they are followed by that in priority order. And I will go into a little bit more depth in each one. Starting off is our number one priority is the Florida Highway Patrol Recruitment and Retention Plan. This is a plan where we are requesting $24.4 million of recurring general revenue. This is a plan that is a career development plan that will help directly address some of the issues FHP is facing in recruitment and retention. This is a career development plan based on tenure, merit, achievement from the ranks of trooper to lieutenant. To put it bluntly, we are losing, basically, for every 40 troopers we hire, we are losing 50. A year ago, we were at 8% vacancy rate. Currently, we're a little over 11%. A lot of our troopers, so for the first 2 years, we pay you to go through the academy. After the first 2 years, you no longer get training. But once you complete those 2 years, they basically get picked up by local sheriff, someone else, and usually it's for a better pay. So right now, that's our number one issue, is to try and retain our FHP troopers. And really retaining them helps reduce costs. There are so many different values in keeping our troopers instead of letting go after the first 2 years. Number two is our motorist modernization project. It's a seven-year project, and this would be for the sixth year of funding. This is part one was already completed, and that was the driver's license focus. This is phase two, and this focuses on motor vehicles. It focuses on titles, registration, international fuel tax, IRP. It also includes the mobile driver's license, and then we will probably answer more questions on that later. moving on, number three is a three-part issue, but it's critical market pay additives. The first portion is for the Florida Highway Patrol. Currently, there are 23 counties that are covered under a critical market pay additive. This request would add four more counties for a total of $415,000. Counties added would be Seminole, St. Lucie, Martin, and Indian River. The second part of this request is to again, add another $5,000 pay additive to the non-sworn FHP personnel. Those are personnel in our regional communication centers. And you can see there, our regional communication centers are located in Duval, Hillsborough, Lee, Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, and Seminole counties. The third portion of this request is for our driver's license examiners. Currently, we do DL services in Broward and Miami-Dade counties. So we are requesting $2.2 million of budget authority to add 366 personnel to add them to a $5,000 critical market pay additive. And that's going to bring us into our next request, and that is recruitment and retention of our driver's license examiners. They currently make $27,000 in Miami-Dade and Broward County. We would like to just go ahead and get them to 31-2, which is $15 an hour. We, along with everyone else, are suffering a lot of attrition there. We lose about 20 or have about 20% turnover. This is not an easy job. You have to learn a lot, have to learn how to quickly complete transactions. And so we feel as if we can raise their pay along with the critical market pay additive, we can help retain some of those really qualified employees that we need to keep. On to the next one. This is skipping ahead a little bit, but we wanted to highlight this issue. This is our state-to-state verification subscription service. This is through AMVA. This is going to be keep us in compliance with the one driver, one license requirement by the Real ID Act. What this does is basically helps prevent fraud and among other things. So when you move to the state of Florida right now and you come and get a new Florida driver's license, it is a very manual process for us to fill out all the paperwork, send it back to whatever state you came from. It's very labor intensive, a lot of paperwork. What this will do is make it all electronic and basically speed everything up and cut down on all that labor intensive cost. And so as you can see on the graph there, about 34 states have already joined. They're saving the last three largest. So Florida, Texas, and California are the last three. And we are scheduled to go live in January of 2023. Moving on. So these are going to be just other priority issues. First is a relocation of our Venice station. This is a facility that's owned by the Sarasota County, and that lease is expiring, so we are looking to move the FHP substation to a new building. Next issue is we are requesting $3.8 million for new conducted electrical weapons, tasers. Our tasers were purchased in 2015. They had a five-year warranty. That warranty is expiring. It costs about a little over $2,000 to replace each one. So what we're looking to do is just go ahead and replace those tasers. And this would also come along with new training. And so that's that. And then hire back patrol operations is transportation. This is $800,000 to increase our budget authority due to some contracts with FDOT increasing. Moving on to motorist services priority issues. The first one is the relocation of the Pembroke Pines driver's license office. Right now, we are currently experiencing long lines. It's taken a while. That is by far our smallest office. Right now, we have about space for about 12 people inside in the lobby, and we do roughly 500 transactions a day. So we don't have a lot, and that's mostly due to COVID, so we're trying to keep people limited. We have, you know, built tents and fans to make sure everyone's comfortable and standing in long lines, but we are currently limited in that space, and we're in a state-owned facility. We can't expand on that facility, so that request is to help us move and remain in the same area, but move to a different, bigger facility to help speed up and reduce some of those lines. The next request is for a commercial driver's license, third-party administrators. We are requesting six FTEs and $570,000. We currently have full eight-time employees who are responsible for 166 third-party sites and 342 tester sites. This request is due to an audit finding where we were required by statute to test all of these sites every year on an annual basis, and we obviously, with a few employees and so many sites, we're having trouble keeping up. So this request is to help fix that issue. The next request is for our fleet replacement for the Bureau of Dealer Services. We're requesting $265,000 to replace 13 vehicles. Right now, there is 86 vehicles assigned to the Bureau of Dealer Services. 62%, or 53 of those vehicles, are over the Department of Management Services replacement criteria. So they're either older than 12 years or have over 120,000 miles. The next request is over $550,000 in our purchase of license plates category. This is due to increasing population in the state of Florida and also a 10-year life cycle that the current plate has. So 10 years ago, we had more people come in next fiscal year, and we're forecasting an increase of about 200,000 plates, so that would help cover that cost. Moving on to the ISA, so the first is the application cloud environment. We are requesting $4.9 million in recurring funding. We were appropriated $5.8 million in non-recurring funds for this current fiscal year, and this is migrating our application systems, networks, and others to a private cloud environment. This is a continuation request, and this is to basically fully fund in the out years for this request. The next part is enterprise security operational support. We're requesting $322,000 in recurring funding to continue the implementation of tools that help reduce the opportunities for unauthorized access. These include antivirus, enhanced detection and response, and multi-factor authentication. Next is our software operational support. It's a two-part request. The first part is $89,000 for a software asset management tool. This is also in response to a recent audit finding that requested or recommended a comprehensive enterprise-wide software license inventory program to help automate discovery and inventory tools. The second part is $295,000 to purchase software that help implement automated testing tools. This will help test all of our applications. And then moving on. The next part is for our fixed capital outlay. All three of these locations have public-facing restrooms, and these would be ADA restroom renovations to bring those up to code. And then finally, as you've heard others mention before, this is through the governor's office, what they have recommended for the deferred building maintenance program, and that's $4.2 million. That would be for HVAC upgrades, sprinkler detection, major interior renovation, and mold remediation. And with that, I will take any questions that you may have.
Ranking Member Hart, I have a feeling you may have a question for Mr. Calaway. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's kind of funny that you say you're losing your officers to other agencies. Yes, the Department of Corrections say they're losing their people to you. So somebody somewhere, there's a mix-up.
You're right.
Say they're training and losing them to you all is what they're telling me every time I go visit. But so what is it that you think you're going to be able to do to maintain your officers? Do you think it'll be because they get more money, they'll stay? What do you think you really need?
You recognize.
Thank you. So that right now is one of the main reasons they are leaving. So to put it in perspective, a current trooper starts out at the Florida Highway Patrol making about $42,000. A 10-year guy can probably expect to make about $48,000. That same 10-year guy might make $60,000 working for a locality. And another thing that separates us is we do not have a career development plan. When you start with FHP, you are up to the legislature on whether they get a pay raise or not. We do not decide whether they get pay raises. We have to come back and request that. Most of the time when they go to a locality, when they sign on at year three, they know what they could be making at year seven. Right now, it's unfortunately, we can't tell them if they will get a pay raise on a yearly basis or not. And so that's kind of where we're trying to go, is saying, hey, when we bring you on, you know, here's where you can be in 10 years and what you can be making. And that's something I think that we're missing, that other agencies offer that we
do. Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you very much. The other question was about the driver's license and the smart technology we worked on last year.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are we today?
So we are actually expected to do an implementation at the end of next month, so the end of October. So we are very close, and we are working very hard towards that. So we're close.
I have a question that kind of follows up with the ranking member's first question. On the recruitment and retention plan for FHP, is that just for sworn officers, or is that all personnel?
This would be just for sworn officers.
Thank you. Representative LaMarca, you're recognized for question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to follow on the ranking member's question. The second question, having run that bill last year, the digital driver's license, can you give us an update as to once that implementation goes on, is it just going to be a state within the state of Florida program, or would we be, because I've read some articles lately that, for example, the Apple platform or Google platform, Android, has access to that type of thing. Are we going to kind of endeavor into that area, or is there something I'm missing that we couldn't?
No.
Recognize.
So we are actually in conversations with Apple, and what they went and partnered with some other states, but we had met with them 3 years ago. And those current conversations are ongoing. But when we adopt it, our full expectation is to be fully adoptable. Our mobile driver's license will be basically with card readers. So we're looking to work with different public or private partners to make sure that we can be, throughout multiple states would be able to use our mobile driver's license.
Representative LaMarca for a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick follow-up. So when we do that, I know that in the language in the bill was specific to if somebody, for example, needs to show their driver's license as an ID to purchase alcohol at a store or other specific issues, or if it's a law enforcement driver's issue, different sets of information would be shared. Would those platforms also allow that restriction?
Yes, sir. It would be based off a QR code, and so that request, basically when you would pull it up, it would be, so if you're just buying alcohol, there would be an option to say, basically prove I'm 21 and older, and it would pull up a QR code, they scan it, it pops back green that you're good and has your face, it would very limited information on based on what you're doing. So all that would do is, to basically say you're 21, that's it. No other information would be provided.
Thank you.
Representative Arrington, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to check on the modernization phase one in the Orion system and see how that was going. I know we had some problems with rollout, and I know your all's office would have heard from me a couple times on that. So I just want to know if some of those bugs have been fixed, because I know they were a little bit different things and wasn't consistent what the problems were.
You recognize.
When we first rolled out, we had a few bugs that we had to quickly implement and get fixed, but most of them have been fixed now, and we're all running smoothly, so we're good. So.
Do we have any other questions for Mr. Calloway? All right, thank you for being here. We appreciate everything you do, and again, members, I know that these agencies will be glad to meet with you if you want to do a deep dive on some of the topics within their department. That's all we have for today. It is good to see everybody. I'll be honest, I enjoyed being at home during the summer, but it's always good to see friendly faces, and I think we really have a good committee and looking forward to working with all of you this year. This concludes the committee agenda. So without any further business coming before the committee, Representative Harding moves we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.